The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Friday, Football Friday. It's Carmen and Yurko. I mean, football's in the air. Notre Dame, Wisconsin, 11 o'clock tomorrow. Game day is here. When was the last time game day was in Chicago? Was it the Notre Dame? Was it the Northwestern Illinois
Ohio State
game?
Wasn't it Northwestern Ohio State?
Well, that was in Evanston. I mean, like in the city.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Was it the Illinois Northwestern game? Wrigley Field game?
They were here for that. You're right.
They were.
Yeah.
Was that the last time they would have been here? Probably. So game day is here. If you're out and about tonight, look for the guys. The city's going to be buzzing. ND Wisconsin tomorrow. I know some people going to that game. Merck, did you try to get tickets or did you not even bother?
Not even bother. No. They're like $500 a pop.
Well, how much are your Badgers worth to you, kid?
Not that much.
Badgers are a 6.5-point favorite. An extra week to prepare, I think, makes a big difference in a game like this where Wisconsin is really going to rely on its defense and its familiarity, Yurk, with Jack Cohen, the transfer from Wisconsin.
Right,
he's now
right.
the quarterback for Notre Dame. So we've got that big game tomorrow. I mean, it's probably the biggest game on the college slate this weekend. Matchup of a couple of top 20 teams. And like I said, game day is here. We got Bears going to Cleveland. Some other really good games in week two. I am looking forward to Chargers and Chiefs. I am looking forward to
potentially two playoff teams.
Yes, absolutely. If that game gets to 7, I really like the Chargers. I want it to get to the key at 6.5 right now. Do you know what the last nine times the Chiefs have been a favorite, you know what their record is against the spread?
1-6.
1-8. Well, last nine times.
Oh, 1-8.
1-8, Yurko. 1-8. They win, they don't cover anymore because the public is in love with Mahomes and Reed and the Chiefs, and they just get pounded and pounded and pounded, and the lines get big, and they get bloated, and they don't cover, and they're in a lot of close games now. And I always think of something that you say about playing the best
that you get up for.
You normally, no team is ever going to have a problem getting up anymore to play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly.
And this is a division game, but still, everybody that goes in there wants to bring their best to be like, okay, we can hang with you because you're the Chiefs.
Right.
Everybody.
It's like Jacksonville. You're not getting up to play Jacksonville.
No.
Houston, not getting up to play Houston. You're not doing that. But when you're playing Tampa Bay now, you're going to be the best. Kansas City, for us, is you try to be the best against Dallas because Dallas was the king of the castle at that point.
Right.
Frisco was the king of the castle. You knew a lot of eyes were going to be on them, so you wanted to go ahead and play well against them.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So that's another good game. How about Frisco and the Packers? I think that's a good game.
Where's that one at?
That's at San Fran. So the Packers have to travel on the short week after playing Monday night. But I like Green Bay, actually, in that game a little bit. The Rams-Bucks, I think, come on. That should be a game, right? Last team to score wins. That's going to be like backyard football. Last team wins.
Do you like the
last team with the ball wins. I do.
Do you like the over there?
It's high, but I do.
Well, here's the thing.
Last team to score wins.
Jalen Ramsey can't cover five guys.
No, he cannot. And here's the thing about the Rams. The Rams have no problem. The Rams remind me of the early Lovey concepts, right? Like, hey, you want a nickel dime? Go ahead. We're going to bet that at some point you're going to make a mistake. Too deep. Everything's in front of us. And you can go ahead and have the middle of the field. Have at it. You're going to make a mistake. That's exactly the way these first 2 weeks have played out. Okay. The Bears and the Colts. Two offenses and quarterbacks that you will not confuse for Tom Brady and the Bucs. But what have the Rams done? The Rams' defense has faced 18 drives so far this year, Yurk. Do you know how many times those offenses have punted out of 18? 3. But what did the Bears do? They got down in the red zone. What did Andy Dalton do? Threw a pick.
First interception.
Series. Last week, first series, what did the Colts do? They went down the field. They got to the 1. They got stuffed on 1st and 1. They got stuffed on 2nd and 1. They got stuffed on 3rd and 1. And you know what happened on 4th and 1, Yurk? They got stuffed.
They got stopped.
They came away with nothing. The Colts were down on the 5-yard line last week. You know what Frank Reich dialed up? his silly Matt, you know, or Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like, listen, Frank Reich, the Philly special. Not even that one. Frank Reich is exponentially better than Matt Nagy. Don't get me wrong. But they all sat in a room together with Andy. That stupid little shovel pass on the goal
line.
Right,
yeah.
Guess what happened?
Stuffed.
Intercepted. So off the top of my head, there's three red zone drives between two of their opponents that came away with bupkis, not even
zero
a field
points.
Goal. You think that's happening with Tom Brady?
No.
And Rob Gronkowski?
No.
And Mike Evans?
No.
And Chris Godwin?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
Last team with the ball wins the game. It's going to be a shootout. I think it should be fun. But the Rams defense is not like, this isn't the Bears in 85. This isn't the Ravens.
Right. They make that a 3 o'clock game? Is that going to be a prime
time
game? Yeah,
that's
a late
game. Well, they're in LA, so that game's in LA, yes.
I got you.
Last year, LA won on the road in Tampa. We'll see if Tampa can return the favor. So I think there are a lot of good games on the slate here in week three. Some tough lines. There were some tough games to predict. Look, the dogs have barked. Favor covered last night to kick off week three, but we are 2 weeks and one game in. We're 33 games into this NFL marathon, and the dogs are 21 and 12. Home teams have a losing record since the start of last season, and they're 16 and 17 so far this year after Houston lost at home last night. 21 and 12. The dogs have really barked. I feel like at some point, favorites are going to start to cover. The books aren't going to do as well. The house is happy right now.
Jumping for joy. Yeah.
The public mostly bets favorites. The books desperately needed the Ravens to cover last week. The Ravens won outright. It was huge for the books. Like at some point, you figure, okay, the favorites are going to start
to cover.
They're
putting money in Vegas,
yeah,
kid.
They always do, Yerk. That's why they build those things.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, I like, there's a bunch of dogs I'm looking at that I kind of like again this weekend. And then it starts to scare me. I'm like, oh, God, we're too in love with the dogs now.
I bet five favorites this week. Five favorites and one dog.
Look at you.
Yeah.
In your picks with Dr. Andy?
Dr. Andy, yeah. Dr. Andy from Evergreen Kia and I. He's got a 5-game lead on me. I've got to chase him down.
You got to chase him down. But you got a long way to go.
It's a long way to go. We've got, what is this, 18 weeks?
It's 18
season?
Weeks, buddy.
So I've got 16 more weeks to go ahead and make some noise.
A couple things. We're going to talk more gambling with Todd Furman when he joins us at 11:30. We always talk to Todd Furman on Fridays. He's live in Vegas. A couple things. Scheduling. I'm going to talk to you about two things. I'm going to make a note so I don't forget because I want to ask.
Yeah, put this down on paper.
What did you, because I'm pivoting for a second because you brought up the 18 weeks. Did you see the news that week one of the playoffs will feature a Monday night game for the first time ever?
I did.
There will be a wild card game. Wild card weekend, which is a great weekend, will now feature a Monday night game.
So does that guarantee you don't have planned a Saturday after then? That's what I would
I would imagine.
I would imagine too,
yes.
But that's no guarantee.
How could you not? Would that do they have to collectively bargain something like that? Hey, you're going to probably not like
no,
a broadcast schedule?
No. If they bargained or they'd agreed to the increase in playoff teams, when they schedule those games is up to television and the NFL.
I don't think they would do that to a team. I don't. Now maybe I'm crazy and maybe I'm being naive. I don't think they would do that. That is a distinct, clear disadvantage, and that would not be fair.
Okay, well, that'd be my question that I would raise.
If you're the Monday night team, does that ensure
you don't play
on Saturday? You're already behind the eight ball in a sense because now all of a sudden you're a playoff team. You could be playing a wild card game on a Monday night. Guess what? The latest you're playing is the following Sunday. I mean, since when in the playoffs do you have to play on a short week? Now somebody will have to play on a short week.
Have you heard, we're used to Monday night games, Thursday night games, Saturday night games. We're used to that here, right? In Europe, they used to play those games on Saturday or Sunday. They're soccer games, and they were at one time. Everybody played at the same time. With the introduction of American television and bringing the game to the audience here in the United States, they've switched times. Like they'll start at 6:30 in the morning, which is 11:30, 12:30 there.
Right.
And then they'll have a Monday game that's conducive to an afternoon, which is almost a night game out there.
Right.
Jurgen Klopp has complained about the scheduling and the crappy games that he gets and the crappy times, which I believe is that 11 a.m. game.
11 a.m. our time?
11 a.m. our time.
So it's like 7 o'clock there, 6 o'clock there.
He can't stand that time. And he keeps getting that time.
Hmm.
And it drives them crazy. Jurgen Klopp is the manager of Liverpool.
Liverpool.
So they're one of the better teams.
Better team.
They put him on that primetime game, and it drives him absolutely crazy, and he complains about it. Well, we're used to it here in America, so when we see a Monday night game, we don't bitch and moan about it. We're kind of happy we get another day of football, especially during the playoffs when the games are starting to run down. But we're used to it. Other people aren't used to, you know, kind of having television dictate to leagues and leagues and television get together and really not care about the player. Hmm. But, again, if you play that Monday night game, you better be guaranteed you're not playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because that's short turnaround.
That's way too unfair.
Short turnaround.
And again, it's going to be hard enough now because you're going to play on Sunday, right? You're like, all of a sudden, you're playing a short week in the playoffs. That's never happened before. As I understand it, they've never done this. So I don't know if people have a thought on that, but there will be a Monday night game in Wild Card Weekend. The league has confirmed that. I think Ian Rappaport or Pelissero, somebody had floated that yesterday. I think the league confirmed it.
What's question number two?
312-332-3776. Question two is, over-under touchdown passes for Fields this weekend, 1.5. Touchdown passes.
I would say under. One touchdown pass and he runs a couple in, maybe.
I like what you're thinking. Yeah. I was going to say 1-1. We'll ask Furman. Like, what would the?
I
could probably get the lines.
I mean, predicted 31-17. So in theory, it would be 1-1. You know, but if instead of a field goal, they got a touchdown, he went one touchdown pass and two touchdown. Yeah, one touchdown pass and two running touchdowns. That's what I like. That's what I think will happen.
Like, what would be the odds on that? Like 1.5. Would that be would under be the favorite? You know, to passes under touchdown.
Passing touchdowns, yes.
Probably. Nick Chubb is -150 to score a touchdown. Anytime touchdown is probably a pretty good bet. Kareem Hunt is +140. Montgomery
is +140. I'd go with the +140. I'd want the value there. Of course, they both might score.
Dave Montgomery is +185. I like that wager.
What's Cole Kmet?
Oh, boy.
He's going to
get one target.
Yeah, he's scoring a touchdown this week. Trust me, he's scoring a touchdown.
+450.
Yeah.
Let's bet it. You think so?
Yeah.
You feel good?
Yeah, I feel
good. All right, I'm
going
to get it in.
Yeah.
Careful.
You're talking about the bet, right?
I'm talking about the bet.
Cole Kmet can't get off the line of scrimmage, guys.
One target.
I'm going to listen.
I don't know, Merck.
Cole Kmet, local kid, played at Purdue. Where did he play? Notre Dame. Played at Notre Dame. His dad played at Purdue.
Yes, he did.
It's starting to become a real question mark.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got the benefit of the doubt because of, you know, some familiarity there. Okay? Starting to become a question mark here on what the hell the Bears did. Okay? But it's early.
Did they miss?
It's early.
Did they miss another second-round tight end? Yeah, it's early.
It
is.
He was the number one tight end taken in the draft.
He was. He was the first tight end.
The first one. It's early. But I'm telling you, if you can't get off the damn line of scrimmage and you can't get away from people, it's going to be a problem.
When you see maybe it's unfair to compare him, but like when you look around this league and you see tight ends like Kelsey, like Kittle, like Gronk, even like
Tonyan,
like Robert Tonyan's a good call, like Darren Waller. I mean, my God, these matchup nightmares that are big and physical and can move. I mean, look at George Kittle after the catch. Are you kidding? For a tight end, like
they find space.
What in the world is going on?
They naturally have a feeling for where space is at and find voids and zones.
Like, I you know, as much as we clamor for the quarterback, don't you look at that and go, "Hey, where's ours?" As Bears fans, like, "What?
Thought we had him?"
Yeah,
I'm waiting.
We're waiting. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk Bears, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Jericho. Playing 10 years in the league created some battle wounds that I still feel every day. Constant aches and pains that unfortunately, these things won't dissipate. What I've been looking for is something to help ease the pain in a safe and reliable way. Recently, I was introduced to Delta 8x3 Chi, and it's exactly what the good kid needed. Yes. The effects for me were instantaneous, and I was finally able to diminish that pain. My friends at 3 Chi, that's the number 3 CHI. Are the leaders in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. They've invented a way to make the first federally legal, get this, Carm, Delta-8 THC in the world. Delta-8 is the perfect substitute for anybody using Delta-9 who wants the same great feelings, but without those negative side effects. Take my advice. Go to 3chi.com, that's number 3chi.com, to shop for Delta-8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils. You know I love the gummies. Use code ESPN21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's ESPN 21. You must be 21 or older to purchase.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Runner at third. Here's a 1-2. Swing and a miss. Sox win the division. They are the American League Central champions. A few hugs, but it's pretty low-key right now on the field, and a lot of handshakes and hugs in the dugout.
Glenn Casper right here on your home for White Sox baseball last night. Summed up well. Kind of subdued. Hugs, handshakes. They were smiling. They were happy, but they know.
Anybody kiss him?
We've got bigger fish to fry, and those fish are the Houston Astros, the Tampa Bay Rays, maybe the Yankees, maybe the Red Sox.
Be careful what you ask for.
Maybe the Jays.
Maybe the Blue Jays. Be careful what you ask for. They're coming.
Can you imagine in a playoff series against the Red Sox having to face Chris Sale?
Can you go over
the irony?
Can you go over last year's playoffs for the White Sox?
They won the first game and then they lost to the A's in two.
Boy.
Well, they lost the next two, excuse me. This will be the first home playoff game since 2008.
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Been a long time.
Was that the blackout game?
Well, they lost the game at home to the Rays, to the Devil Rays back then. They were still the Devil Rays. Joe Madden's Rays that went to the World Series.
Yeah. Anyway.
They lost that series. They lost that series 3-1. They lost in four. They lost the two down there. They won game three at home, if I'm remembering right. Yeah, and then they lost game four. So they lost 3-1 in that series. But boy, Sale's been good, man. Like Sale's come back from this thing. What, 5-0? Chris Sale, I think, a 2.5 ERA. Like, wow. Good for Chris Sale. I'm happy for him. I just don't want to have to see him. That would be.
But is he anything more than a 5-inning pitcher, or does it matter?
In the playoffs, are there any pitchers anymore that are more than 5-inning pitchers?
Garrett
Maybe Garrett Cole.
Max Scherzer, who had a bad outing.
I would agree.
Had his first bad outing in a long time.
First bad outing, but probably Scherzer. Who else, Merck? Maybe Walker Buehler.
Is Verlander still alive?
Verlander's not, but Verlander's injured. He's still rehabbing his injury from last year.
He's injured.
I don't think Verlander would even be one of those guys anymore.
When he was healthy, he was.
Yeah, sure. And his prime Verlander?
He was 2018 or 19 whenever the Nationals beat them.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, how many? Lance Lynn's not going more than six,
Lance Lynn's.
I mean, Lance Lynn's a bulldog.
Not anymore. I mean, that's what you have 12 people bullpens for now. Come in the sixth, seventh, eighth.
Yeah.
Make it happen for yourself.
So Len and DJ, right back at it tonight. Connor McKnight has the pregame show starting at 5:30 as the series in Cleveland continues. I was listening to Connor on the postgame yesterday. He made a good point about Robert. I think somebody had called in or they were talking about Luis Robert. I mean, Robert again yesterday. I don't know if you saw where his home run landed. It landed by that entrance we walked into in left field there onto the concourse. I mean,
I know the one.
Then he hit a ball 399 feet off the base of the wall. I mean, he's incredible. And Connor was saying, you know, next year, flash forward to February or January, when we start talking about the 2022 season and baseball futures, we know who the favorites are going to be for MVP in the AL. Shohei, Trout, Vlad. The sneaky good pick is going to be Luis Robert. It'll be interesting to see where odds makers set his odds for MVP next year. He is the player that I am still most excited about. I think he's the one that Sox fans for a couple of years have been most excited about. Like, T.A.'s awesome, and T.A. is one of their inspirational leaders, and I love everything about Tim Anderson. And we know what Jose Abreu means to this team, but Jose is also at an advanced stage in his career, and he's not as complete a player. Aloy, terrific, but a very, very much a more of a one- or two-dimensional player. Maybe let's give him a two-dimensional player. You know, for some of the things he can do at the plate.
Right.
Robert covers all the bases. Pardon the pun.
He's a superstar.
He's like the superstar in the making. If it goes right, Luis Robert is the superstar. He's the Shohei. He's the Vlad. Right? He's the Trout.
He's your stud.
He's your stud.
He's your stud. He's your horse.
And I will be interested to see what Vegas thinks about his prospects and, you know, where he is set in an MVP race. That's going to be pretty obvious. Your top three next year are going to be in no particular order: Trout, Shohei, and Vlad Guerrero. I still can't believe like what Vlad's done this year, and he virtually has no shot of winning that award. There can't ever be a race like this in MLB history, ever, where a guy that has just dominated his league offensively has no chance of winning the MVP award.
What's happening now with Shohei hasn't happened in 100 years.
I get it.
In Major League Baseball, that's it.
I mean, if you're Vlad, do you say, well, that's all right, I'll win one eventually. I'm 22, I'm 23. Or you like, are you kidding me?
I'd be more like, are you kidding me? I would be, are you kidding me?
Like, are you joking? Really?
Man, where'd this guy come from all of a sudden? Had surgery, it was a rag arm, and now all of a sudden he's throwing smoke.
Leads the league in runs, hits, home runs, batting average, on base, slugging, OPS, OPS plus, total bases. No shot. Going to go to the playoffs potentially. No chance. You have no chance.
No shot whatsoever.
It's not right, people. It's not. So Len's right back at it, like I said, with DJ Connors pregame at 5:30. Waddle and Sylvie are live at Kenny's in Countryside. Love that place. I'm going to stop by and do my normal Friday hit with them live.
Wonderful.
Tell me the guys.
Will there be words? Will there be words with you? And
no.
No. Okay.
I hear they're taking shots at us.
I'm going to play. You know what I was at? My buddy Aaron Cornell reminded me. He said, boy, Sylvie's really like the guy in Snatch. You guys ever see the movie Snatch?
Oh,
Guy Ritchie's
Snatch?
Of course
I have. That's fantastic.
Remember after, you know, he's Bricktop was a great character. He's the mobster. And he's a bad man.
He's the one with the pigs.
Yeah, he's the pigs. Greedy as a pig. He's a bad MF-er, right?
Right.
Like, you don't want to mess with Bricktop.
He's a bad mamma jamma.
And so he's fixing the fight, and sure enough, what do they call the Brad Pitt? He's a pikey, right? They call him. I don't know if that's some sort of slur. I apologize.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
He's upset because Brad Pitt doesn't follow the instructions. He doesn't take the dive, right? And Bricktop's walking out, and he gets approached by a guy. I'll go ahead and play it for you.
Thanks for the tip, Bricktop.
It's a new fringe. If I throw a dog a bone, I don't want to know if it tastes good or not. You stop me again whilst I'm walking, and I'll cut your Jacobs off.
Yeah, that's the game. That's what the gangster does. When the guy who asks for a gambling tip and then loses stops you and says, "Hey, thanks for the tip." That's what you get.
Thanks for the tip, Bricktop.
It's a new fringe. If I throw a dog a bone, I don't want to know if it tastes good or not.
Right.
You stop me again whilst I'm walking, and I'll cut your
I don't want to know if the bone tastes good.
Yeah.
Take the tip and end it.
Tell that to Sylvie.
I will be with the guys from 4 to 4:30.
He's been complaining about you, I hear.
All Sylvie does is
Waddle,
complain.
And Waddle took a shot at the good kid, I think.
Well, Yurko took a shot at Waddle. Yeah. It's only fair. Listen, we bust balls because we love, okay?
We tease because we love.
We tease because
we love. Well, I mean, we're there for the unhinged. The contractually obligated and verbally committed to Crosstalk Unhinged. You and I were there.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a change in the schedule because of weather, and all of a sudden they weren't going to do their show, you know, because of the White Sox baseball.
Right.
So you and I were then going to do the Unhinged show ourselves, and we decided to have a little fun with the fellas.
Waddle last night. There was a Darnold missed the guy. I think maybe it was Davis Mills. I can't remember who. No, I think it was Darnold. Darnold missed somebody down the field late. I mean, it was a throw that, you know, like, does need to be made, and that's Darnold's biggest issue is some of the accuracy down the field. It's a throw that has to be made, like, but it was a little bit, the ball did glance off his receiver's fingers, and Waddle immediately on the text chain. Was that a drop? I'm like, touche, Waddle, that was good. I got what Waddle was saying. You had more of an issue with that one, the Mooney drop. But, hey, you're the former pro. I defer to you.
I was there. I watched it in real time.
You've got a trained eye.
I know what should be caught, what shouldn't be caught.
Yeah.
I'm not the king of low expectations.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Take that, Waddle.
That's all.
Dave's in Elgin. What's up, Dave?
Hey, so are you talking about that playoff game on Monday night?
Yes.
And, what's the difference if you play a playoff game on Sunday and then you have to play again on Saturday?
That sucks,
too. Monday night and then Sunday.
That sucks, too.
Monday and Saturday is what I was talking about.
He was saying Monday and Saturday, right. Yeah.
Right, but if you play Monday and you play Sunday, it's still the same.
I see what he's saying. If you play Sunday and then you have to play the Saturday, do they do that? I guess they do that sometimes, don't they? Because we look at those scheduling spots and we go, oh, boy, that's unfair.
And did you just say doo-doo?
No, I said they do that.
Yes, do. He said do. He did.
I did say that, Dave. They do that. They do that sometimes.
Yes, they do that.
No, but I he's
double
right,
two.
Though. If you play on Saturday and then have to play Sunday, whoa.
Sunday to Saturday, he's saying.
He's saying Sunday to Saturday.
Right.
Which would be the equivalent of Monday to
I said it would be unfair, right?
Thought you said you are.
Now I'm confused.
No, but that's the point. He kind of went in a different direction, and it's not the same. When you play on Monday,
right,
and you have to play on Saturday,
that'd be
it's not the same as Sunday to Saturday. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, because you still have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You get 5 days.
Right.
If you went Monday to Saturday, you'd get Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know what he was getting at, but whatever he was getting at was wrong. Yeah. And so life
you'd
goes
still
on.
Have a, you'd yeah. have one last day off. That seems to be a very unfair advantage. And it's we even sometimes do look at the scenarios where the league has put a team on Sunday and then flips them the next week to Saturday. And you go, oh, boy, that's a little bit unfair. It would be worse playing from Monday to Saturday because you would only have 4 days off.
Yes,
I can't imagine the league doing that to a team. But I guess we'll see in January 2022. We're going to go to Vegas coming up next. We'll get some best plays with our guy Todd Furman, and we'll go around the league a little bit, and we'll get his thoughts on Notre Dame and Wisconsin here at Soldier Field, the biggest college game of the weekend. So we'll talk to Todd Furman live in Sin City when we come back next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Two pieces of quick breaking news before we get to Todd Furman. We were hinting at this earlier in the show. It's official now. Odell Beckham Jr. will play for the first time this season against the Bears in Cleveland this weekend. And Bulls news, Patrick Williams, unfortunately, has a severe sprained ankle that he hurt during an optional team workout. He is going to be sidelined 4 to 6 weeks, so might put him starting the season in jeopardy. We will see about that. Let's get out to the Corona Hotline and say hi to Todd Furman live in Vegas. He joins us every week. Follow him on Twitter at Todd Furman and listen to his great podcast with Payne Insider, the Bet the Board podcast, wherever you get your pods. He joins us at this time every Friday. And the Bears go on the road in week three, Todd. They are a 7.5 point underdog. This line hasn't done too much. I would just ask you this. When we, you know, we kind of had an idea after Sunday that, okay, maybe this is going to be Justin Fields' first start. It's not like the books kept this game off. They posted a line. I mean, is there anything we can glean from, like, how Vegas decided to either upgrade or downgrade the Bears going on the road with Fields over Andy Dalton?
Not a whole heck of a lot, to be quite honest. When you look at Andy Dalton, he's as much of a known commodity as any quarterback in the league, giving a long history and various stops along the way. And when books opened this price in that 7, 7.5 range, it didn't make a whole lot of sense for them to try and create perceived value through a key number until they know exactly how bettors are going to respond to Justin Fields getting the nod. One thing I will say that you guys mentioned, talking about Odell Beckham Jr. expected to play in the game, you have seen a little bit of movement on the total, but surprisingly enough, it's continued to tick down.
Yeah.
So we're now below the key number of 45 into that 44.5 range. So while fantasy owners may rejoice, Odell coming back for Cleveland has very little impact in terms of the overall handicap.
Yeah, I wonder why that number, why is that total come down as much? Is it just because it's the Bears offense? Does that have something to do with it?
That is a big part, and I think there are a lot of questions about what this Bears offense will look like in Justin Fields' starting debut. Will you see a lot more quarterback-designed runs? Will you see fewer vertical shots down the field? Not like we saw them with Andy Dalton by any stretch of the imagination, but when you look at this Bears team as well, the strength of this defense, at least for me, is still their ability to stop the run, and while they've eroded a little bit, let's see if Cleveland decides to attack their weakness, which would be over the top, not exactly in Kevin Stefanski's DNA. So it'll be anyone's guess in terms of how aggressive Cleveland is with their play calling early on in this contest.
I always hate it when a game that I like starts really attracting a lot of attention. It's becoming a pick that everybody seems to be making. Even though they got blitzed and shut out at home last week, I like the Dolphins getting the points going on the road. This thing's going down to like 3.5 now I'm looking at. And I guess it's a similar scenario where you're going to a backup quarterback, but it doesn't look like there's been too much of an adjustment between Brissett and Tua in terms of the odds makers.
Not at all. Half-point differential, and some guys that I speak to on a weekly basis actually upgrade the Dolphins' offense with Jacoby Brissett being out there, mainly because he's able to throw a better deep ball than Tua. So much of the scheme that they ran with Tua out there is slants, short crossing patterns, and all that sort of thing. Getting Will Fuller back will help a ton because he's the kind of offensive weapon that can take a lid off the opposing defense. And while this Raiders stop unit has shown drastic improvement, at least through the first two games, the $100 million question is, what will it look like against a slightly more balanced attack? It's always difficult to go from being the hunter to the suddenly hunted, and the Raiders in an unenviable position of having their first key divisional game next week against the Chargers. So a little bit of a flat spot, some speculation in terms of how healthy Derek Carr is, but you are no doubt, Carm, on the sharp side. The handicap changes a little bit, though, as we closer to three.
Yeah. The Jaguars are double-digit losers in both of their games, one by 16, the other one by 10. They're only giving up seven and change, and I know it's over a key number, or not giving up. They're getting 7.5. How do they keep it close against Arizona for me to even consider the Jaguars in this situation?
Honestly, Eric, I think the biggest question is, you know, which team do you trust less? Do you trust Arizona, who has two wins to start the season, a 38-13 blowout of the Titans, and then narrowly slipping by the Vikings last week, before they'll play two divisional games after the trip to North Florida against the Rams and 49ers? Or do you think that the market has kind of bottomed out here with the Jags? For me, it's interesting on a variety of fronts, because coming into the season, I had Denver power rated better than the Arizona Cardinals, and now I can take 7.5 with Jacksonville versus taking 6 last week. The problem being is I've actually watched the Jaguars' first 120 minutes of the season, and it's not a bet I'm running to make. But this, for me, is a stay-away situation, just because I don't trust Arizona enough to go out on the road, have put together a dominant performance in the wake of what I would call a pretty fortunate victory with that last-second missed field goal from Greg Joseph.
Yeah, the trends don't support the Kyler-Kingsbury duo getting laying points either. I mean, 4-8 against the number, 6-6 straight up when they're a favorite. So no good, and I'd stay away from that too. Todd Furman's our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko. Make sure you follow Todd on Twitter at Todd Furman and check out the podcast, the Bet the Board podcast, wherever you get your pods. I think Chargers Chiefs could be really good. I'm seeing a lot of 6.5s. Look, I think everybody knows the Chiefs just, they win, they don't cover spreads anymore, and they're big, healthy favorites a lot because the public pounds them. Will this get to 7, and would the Chargers be a good bet at 7?
I do think you're going to see 7 painted on this game by the time we get to kickoff. At 6.5, it's a slightly different handicap again when you look at the key number. And Carm, you mentioned it. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they're just 2-11 against the spread their last 13 games. That's actually the worst record in the National Football League during that span. When you look at this Chiefs team, they haven't won a regular season game by more than a touchdown since Week 9 last year. And the one thing we've seen with the Chargers since the start of the 2017 season, they're about a 67% success rate proposition when they go out on the road. You bet them on the highway, you don't bet them at home because there's no home field advantage to speak of. But you have a couple of things working in the Chiefs' favor in this game. They've been gashed on the ground, but the Browns and Ravens are going to gash a lot of teams in terms of their ability to run the football.
Yeah.
The Chargers don't have that same physically imposing ground game, especially with an offensive line that's a little more banged up. When you look at this Chargers team offensively, they've been the fourth most prolific in the league to date as far as total offense is concerned, but only 27th in points. If they're going to settle for field goals in the red zone here, this thing could get away from them in a hurry. The Chiefs with a bit of revenge. I know it's a slightly square take here, but you couldn't get me on the Chargers. Strong lean towards the Chiefs in this spot.
All right. So college-wise, we got the big Notre Dame-Wisconsin game here. Game day is here. That game's at Soldier. One of those goofy 11 o'clock games. We never like those. But from a handicapping standpoint, is the biggest advantage in this game Jim Leonard getting an extra week to prepare for a quarterback he already knows very well in Jack Cohn, the former Badger who transferred to ND?
100%, but it's not all going to fall on Jack Cohn. Yurk, what is going on with the offensive line there in South Bend, my friend? They can't protect against anybody right now, and I don't think it'll get any better against the Wisconsin defense, who, as you mentioned, Carm, will have extra time to prepare. They get Leo Chanel back in their linebacking core, and all the players have been pretty outspoken about the impact he can make. But what I found interesting, when you read some of Jack Cohn's comments about this game, he's played against that defense. He knows the terminology. He knows how they're going to scheme. So having that extra week is huge for Wisconsin to disguise some of the things that they're going to do. Problem I have, do you trust this Badgers offense to score more than 20 points and do so comfortably, which you're going to need to try and cover as nearly a touchdown favorite? I don't. The issues in their passing game, even more pronounced against Eastern Michigan, which should have been a get-right game, and Graham Mertz can't throw a touchdown pass. So for me, I like the game under the total. I know you've lost a little bit of wiggle room, though. This thing was as high as 46.5, 47 on the open. I just don't know where these two teams go to find big plays, knowing how good Wisconsin is defensively and how limited they are on the offensive side.
Totally agree with that assessment. Any best plays you want to give out before we let you go?
Yeah, we'll follow up last week's 2-1, hopefully with a trio of winners. The Eagles, a little bit disappointing as they dominated that first half for us, but just didn't have enough. We'll start in college, and I know this will be a little bit hard to swallow for some folks in East Lansing. I'm going to take Nebraska, +5 against Michigan State. I know Sparty has been a pleasant surprise to start the season, but I liked what I saw last week from Nebraska defensively. I think Adrian Martinez will have some success. And while everyone wanted to write this team off for dead after that week one loss against Illinois, the betting market reflects reflects that. And I think this price is a touch too rich. So I'll take Nebraska plus the points. I'm going to lay the lumber in Norman in the primetime game. I think this is a great buy-low opportunity for an Oklahoma team that looked pretty pedestrian against the aforementioned Nebraska side. West Virginia doesn't scare me with anything they do offensively, and I think Oklahoma needs to make a statement in their first conference game. And in the NFL, I'll take the Washington football team plus 7.5 against Buffalo. They've had a few extra days to read and lament about how poor their defense has been over the last three games. I don't think Josh Allen is completely right at this point, and I'm going to pay to see Buffalo follow up that 35-0 drubbing against Miami with a big win here. So give me Washington plus 7.5.
I like that game a lot, too, and it's Rivera against his former student, McDermott. That's an interesting storyline. Todd, thanks as always. We'll talk to you next Friday, buddy.
You're the best.
Always a pleasure, gents. Good luck with your picks this weekend.
All right, pal, you too. Make sure you check out the podcast, the Bet the Board podcast with Todd and Payne Insider. Danny and Schomburg, real quick. He wants to rant about Matt Nagy. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, boys. Yeah, you alluded to this, and we were talking about this a little yesterday. I don't get what the emphasis is on letting everybody know over and over that Andy's the starter. I mean, what's going on?
Your phone stinks today. I don't know what's going on with your phone, Danny, but I know what you were saying. Why is Nagy continue to talk about who the starter is when healthy? In fairness, I think he's being asked. I do think he's being pressed on it. I don't know why he's saying that Andy Dalton's still the starter when healthy. I mean, isn't the promise over at this point?
You'd think it'd be over,
yes. The promise should be over.
It's
so,
gone.
You know, throw it in the trash. Let's just hope Justin Fields plays.
It's where
well.
It belongs.
Mike North has the bonus play coming up next. This hour of the show is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join the Cats at Ryan Field Saturday when they host Ohio at 11. Tickets are on sale at nusports.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Podcast going up soon. Get to the ESPN Chicago app. The Odds Couple podcast for the week will be up there. Mike and I taped it this morning. You can also check out all the other great podcasts. The Golf Club, Danny Zetterman's Armchair Nutritionist, Crosstalk Unhinged on our page.
Can't wait to talk
Waddle
to Mikey,
and Sylvie's
too.
Page. Yes.
We got a couple outside taking pictures, getting married.
Wedding couple?
I'm about to give that poor guy some advice.
Yes. All right. Very good. Let's bring
Don't
in Mike.
Do it.
Who's got
Don't
the,
do
it. Who's got the bonus play for week three in the NFL. Maybe he's picking a college game. Let's find out. Mikey, what's
Mikey.
Up, buddy?
Going 44 years in the big show, Yerk. So,
yeah, you hit the over.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, you hit the over.
Oh, yeah. Three miracles in life. Fatima, you know, Sully landing in the Hudson River, and me and Pee being together 44. That's I mean, that's what we're talking about.
That's,
here,
that's phenomenal.
Anything's possible, Mike.
Sully oh, I don't want to hear the about river. The hard rockers that, you know, had trouble keeping their relationships together and all this other nonsense.
Oh,
you know
God.
What? We take our vow seriously.
That's right, Mikey.
Anyway, fellas, I got a college game for you. Last week, I went with the Jets. I'll never do that again. They've been my nemesis for 40 years. Going back to Joe Walton, and, you know, they've just been, I mean, believe me when I tell you this. If you're a quarterback and it's a choice between the Bears developing you or the Jets, you better go to the Bears.
Punt.
Yeah, exactly, punt. But, we got a college game. I'm looking at this game, Oklahoma State -6 against Kansas State. Now, I have a special place in my heart for Kansas State because I was in the service at Fort Riley, lived in Manhattan for a year and a half at the time of my life. I really didn't have to go fight anybody unless it was in a bar or something. But I got to be honest with you. I see where Kansas State scored more points. They've given up less points. They're both 3-0. They're going to Oklahoma State. Kansas State's gotten more pub. I was surprised when I did the system that it came up Oklahoma State. We got hot last year with college. I've decided to take this tact here, go with Oklahoma State. I know Thurman Thomas ain't going through that door. But I also know that when I went to see a Kansas State football game, and I don't want to age myself, but the first game I went to at Kansas State, Steve Grogan was the starting quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, for the Wildcats back then, and Vince Gibson was the coach, so look that baby up. So, yeah, they had propeller planes landing in Manhattan, you know? So I'm going to go with Oklahoma State, guys, -6.
Okay, State -6, night game in Stillwater. Love it. Should be a raucous crowd. Mikey, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
I'm trying to think of more miracles.
Yeah,
guys.
I love it. The Sully one is the best. Right. Thanks, Mike. There's Mike North at North to North on Twitter. Yeah, and the podcast will be going up within the next 15, 20 minutes. So get to the ESPN Chicago app. You get Luke Pergandy on there, Jim Miller with some ponies for the big weekend at Hawthorne. They got their Night of Champions tomorrow. And then we give you our NFL plays. Mike and I are 10-8 so far in our best plays, so we're above the key, 53.5%. And that will try to extend that even out a little bit further.
You know, do better if you can.
And make some money.
If you can.
Quickly, Eddie on the north side. What up, Eddie?
Carm, what am I missing here? I mean, Miami loses 35-0, okay? And then they're only a 3.5-point underdog to a Raiders team that just beat two good teams, and they look great. And people are picking Miami.
Well,
that quarterback that was on Miami that much more worse than Brissett or whoever's...
That'll probably tell you all you need to know, Eddie, right there, of how this line has been set and where the wagering has been. The smart money's on Miami. Now, the value's maybe drying up, and if it gets, you know, to that key number, then maybe it's all gone. But you just heard Todd Furman say it. He talked to some in the know. He talked to some bookmakers that actually had Brissett higher than Tua in terms of how that line should be set for the Vegas game. That it should have been a closer line with Brissett over Tua. That tells you all you need to know. And so I think it is the scheduling-wise, you know, I think it could be a little bit of a trap here for Vegas after two pretty emotional games to start the year. Look, they had a brutal scheduling spot last year. They still went to Pittsburgh and won. And make no mistake, Pittsburgh's not a great football team. T.J. Watt got knocked out. Couldn't finish the game because of a groin injury. That's an O-line that's worse than the Bears. Pittsburgh's O-line might be the worst in the league.
Yeah, they retired for retirement, injury, and free agency hurt them.
They can't protect Big Ben. He can't do what he once did, so he can't even bail them out like he used to. He's got the least amount of time to throw on average, Eric, through 2 weeks than any quarterback in football. Some of that's by design because they know they got to try to get the ball out quick. That's not a good football team in Pittsburgh. It just isn't. So don't be totally fooled by that Raiders win. That's all I'll say about it. All right, we're out. Fields, we think he's going to be good, right?
Yes, we think he's going to be good. More damage with his legs than with his arms.
You got a 31-17 Browns winner?
I got 31-17 Browns winner. I just think the Browns, they're better defensively and they're better offensively than the Bears are.
I'm going to go Browns 24, Bears 18. I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to go a little off the board.
You got a cover there.
I think I got cover there.
The Bears plus the points.
The Bears and the points. We'll see how it goes. I'm not actually betting it, but we'll see. Follow ESPN 1000 on Twitch. Watch us live. Join the chat sponsored by Pinehurst Resort. Greeny is up next. Waddle and Sylvie at 2 live at Kenny's in Countryside. Great place on 55th Street just west of Brainerd. I'm going to do my segment with the guys there live a little bit later on. And then it's White Sox baseball tonight. Thanks to Tyler Rocky and to Randy Merkin. Thanks to Todd Furman and Mike North. And thanks for listening and participating. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Yurko has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Clean bill of health, and he asked the doctor to check his prostate a second time. Yeah, he wanted to make sure it was nice and thorough and good.
You know, listen,
never heard a patient go deeper.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.